Am I on now?
Yeah, the issue is Justin's not favoriting this podcast, so he's not on the friend list.
Oh, he's on now. There you go.
Okay, cool.
Hey, I'm sorry. Portal Bliss. I know. What's up?
In the house.
First podcast.
Yes, sir.
How you guys doing tonight?
Chilling, other than having to change a bunch of passwords to get on this podcast.
Oh, dang.
Oh, man.
Technology.
Yeah, woes for sure. I was like, oh, it wants me to change my password. Okay.
You're like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, doesn't matter.
For those of you guys listening, we are the Northwest Portables, and I'm DJ Dilemma.
I'm Flip the Script.
I'm DJ Joints.
And we're missing DJ J-Flex. He's probably busy tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a wedding to prepare for on Friday. So.
Oh, yeah, that's this Friday?
Yeah, this is Friday night. Pioneer Square venue. Apparently, pretty cool venue. Used to be one of the industrial spots, but now, you know, it's converted. But
yeah, I got a wedding on Saturday in the Soto with Nasty Mess.
Oh, that's this Saturday?
That's this Saturday. So that should be fun.
That's the one you were telling us about.
Hi, children.
Huh?
That was the one you were telling us about that you just have to roll through with your controller.
Yep. That's it. Dex or controller, because I'm not about to play on a MS7.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
So, you know, should be pretty cool.
That's what's up, man. Like, yeah, so I guess J-Flex is going to be rolling through tomorrow night at my spot get some music, and I was like, oh, okay.
He's going to be spinning a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I mainly am just, like, going to support. We got a homie, DJ Statics, is trying to brush off the rust and play out more, and we're trying to help him get back in the swing with, you know, the up-to-date stuff and just the mobile gigs in general. And he mainly comes from, like, a, what do you call it, like a DJ in a band.
Yep.
Like a rap band. And so he used to spin way back in the day when we were coming up, but then transitioned to just, like, bedroom style and then with the bands. And man, it's completely different now when you try to transition to mobile. Well, I mean, I think
it's especially different right now. The day and age is way different.
Yeah.
What about you, Flip the Script? What you doing?
Just here to make a announcement about this new podcast and what we have going on.
Yep, we got the barbecue.
Yeah, finally starting our portable season.
Yeah, it's about time we start doing some outdoor events.
So that park's pretty dope, though. Like, there's a beach.
Is it up above, so we don't got to cross the bridge?
Right, so it's pretty cool the way that's set up. If you've ever been to Richmond Beach, it's out in Shoreline. And it's kind of like a mix between Golden Gardens and Carkeek Park. And you got the beach, and then it terraces. They, like, built this terrace up to the top of the cliff where all the residential area is. And the first tier down is, like, a barbecue spot with a playground, and then you can go further down, and that's where, like, the beach is. And then Actually, my bad. There's like another picnic area before you get to the beach, and then there's the beach.
So it's before the bridge.
Right, right. So if, as you're coming down the entrance, it's like the first staircase you walk down. But there's another way, like next to the parking lot, you would just walk over and then go down towards the kids' playground.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another like barbecue area with like shade structures set up. It's not fully covered. I think they just put some like, you know, crisscrossed beams over so you have a little bit of shade, but it's not like fully covered. And there's like barbecue stations at each spot. I think last time we were there, there was like a group of people just having a barbecue out there. Actually, there was quite a few families. I was like earlier. I think Friday night, and it was like one of the first summer feeling days. And yeah, it was just I got out there, watched my wife and her friend from college. They walked the stairs and did some workout, and his son, who's like 2 years old, I just watched him set up the portable, started scratching, and then watched the kid while they were doing their thing.
Well, that's why we got tents, so should be a real good time.
Yeah, man, that's a great spot. I think that's like, other than Jack Block Park and what's that park in Renton called that we were at last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, Patrick, what's that park where we had the anniversary?
Sundin River Trail Park. It's not the Renton River, but I forgot the river's
that's
name.
A good
but
spot
yeah,
too.
It's
that's
just right there by
too, cause, yeah,
by the
you're
Renton
out
Airport.
Of the way, and you know. But I think
yeah, I think
it's across the way from Kulon.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the cool one, man. Like I really like that spot. Good views. And pretty kind of secluded, but not really. Jack Block Park's the same thing. I think
so. This place is out the way too, right?
Right.
I think I know what you're talking about. I just haven't been out there.
Yeah. What's cool about it is that while we were out there on Friday night, you know, some of the kids, high school kids, I think, were just meeting up with and showing each other their cars, and they were revving their engines, and there's no problem, man. No police rolling through. You know, and the kids were just having fun. They're not bothering anybody. They're just showing their cars
oh,
off.
Oh, that's
and,
good. The neighborhood yeah. folk don't trip them, huh?
It didn't seem like anyone was tripping about it, you know? So, yep. I think we'll be all right.
So, everybody coming out, bring your decks. Bring some food.
Definitely bring some food if you can, because
and bring some water or something. Cause...
yeah, as you know, that's like want to make it like a family event, and more the merrier.
Yeah,
bring your friends too, man. Just let them know, hey, come out and barbecue with us, meet some new people.
It's got a playground there for the kids too, right?
Yep. So that area that we're at, like, the playground is like right next to where we will be, hopefully. So, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a good time. I mean, it's really going to be dope, and we'll all have our portable setups out there. And yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm thinking like for each portable. They should just have their own speaker instead of like daisy chaining to.
You don't want to set up domains.
Well, no, like have mains for just the like whatever looper's playing, and then like for each individual scratcher, have their own individual monitor instead of like having turntables daisy chains to each fader, because like it lessens the sound on like some turntables, because I was having that issue with with Alex when I was sessioning with him at a Seattle Center.
Seattle Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't really have any issues before, but yeah, bring a speaker so you can be rogue. It'd be cool too. We'll set up whoever we can on the mains and have people on their speakers too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's always one of those things though, about the daisy chaining is you do lose sound quality as you go further down the chain. It's kind of why I got that that Handy Cuts, because there's three different channels in it. There's an auxiliary in, and then there's two other dedicated channels. And so I'm hoping to see if we can use that into the main and see, you know, if it keeps up with us.
Yeah, but that's just my findings from, like, you know, I don't know. I mentioned on my last podcast about, like, the, you know, your best performance is your weakest link. And, you know, sometimes the weakest link could be a cable, a bad cable or bad fader. Yeah, you know.
Oh, most definitely. I agree. I think we have a solid setup for at least, like, 4 to 6, and anything more than that, people should have their speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, latecomers, just like, set up your own shit and just scratch along, you know, when you're up, and don't even bother, you know, connecting to anybody else.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm down.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, it's not even that serious, you know, if anything, we can just turn the mains down and level each other out so everyone's able to enjoy and hear themselves. Because, I mean, man, it's just portableism, you know? Just have some fun.
Yeah, kind of hybrid between guerrilla style and regular style, right?
Yeah, it's not like... And honestly, you know, it's like we have similar issues when we're at Scratch Lounge. On a house system, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be cool. I mean, there's always ways around it with portableism, and that's what's dope is figuring it all out and having your equipment all, you know, set up, and we could just tinker with it.
Oh, another item, if y'all are interested or just feeling like you need to help out, folding tables, man. We could always, you know, use folding tables just in case.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely.
Post
or
that.
You know, or just or just table. Like, even if you have like an individual stand, you know, that like it'd be cool to see how people do it. You know, come out and show us what's up. Always trying to learn and figure out a different way of packing light and having some sort of foldable table that you can set up on. And whether it's for individuals or for sessioning, it's always cool, man. I got like this couple of camping tables that I can fold up. I've been trying to work with, but they bounce a lot. So, you know, just always looking out for something to make the experience better.
Yeah, that'd be dope to see what other people do.
I want to.
There's got to be more to it than the.
I want
to.
You got excited.
I think like with a gorilla session, it'll just a couple people, like three people. It's dope just to have a little speaker and see where you can go. For those of you that are listening and you guys haven't been to one of our events and are planning to go, it's real fun and we do it pretty big. So we have it all set up pretty nice.
Yeah, I have food, games, radio-controlled toys.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that serious. Everybody has a good time. It's just like a big family just getting along at a barbecue and cutting it up.
No. Hopefully we can convince Freshwell, if he didn't go out of town that weekend, to bring some records.
Yeah.
For,
have
for
a little
sale.
Swap meet style.
Yeah.
I think bring it would some. Be dope.
We could do a sticker trade as well. That's cool. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have some stickers for the first how many people, but I'm running low. I don't know how many you got, too. Actually, I'm really low now.
Yeah, I think it's about time. We I've been meaning to talk to our guy over at 206 Sticks and get some more made. And I think this time we were talking about doing a solid color, because the last design, when we put like a fade in the back, it works. They don't fade very much, like over time within the sun. But he said next time we do a batch, we should just use some solid color. So I think, you know, we got some new stuff coming, I guess.
Yeah, I think.
Dope.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. The solid black and white's dope. Yeah, we'll figure out something. I think it should just be a big just logo.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That's the dude that made our stickers was saying. Just kind of simplify it.
Yeah. And I think it'll be cool. We'll get all set up. And for those of you guys that don't know, it's from noon to four. And yeah, like Flip the Script said on his podcast, if you guys don't know, it's the Portablist podcast. You know, make sure you bring your batteries, bring your good wires, because you don't want to be the one sitting out.
Oh, I was going to ask, is anybody...
I know the feeling.
Anybody going to bring any tools, like if they have some mods or that they're having trouble with? I don't know. We got some people that have done a lot of modding and experience in it, so I don't know. Just putting it out there.
It would be cool. I mean, we've done it in the past.
Yeah, there was that one time where we installed a bunch of start and stop buttons out there in the park. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, and Flip the Script was soldering out in the park.
That's right. That was dope. What fader did you fix? I can't remember. I know you were like,
it was the original Jesse Dean. Because remember the joints were soldering out. But big ups to Jesse Dean, man. He's got some good product.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
If you're listening, Jesse Dean, you need to come out with some new faders.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Power fader.
Yep.
Because I would cop.
I would too. It's like, I don't know if you guys, Patrick or Flip the Script, did you see that new Bahari mod for the, or both of you guys, did you see the Bahari mod for the new,
The PTO 1S?
Which mod is it?
It looks like it has like a leaf faceplate.
Yeah, it's pretty,
red.
It's pretty clean. And you installed the, Innofader Mini and
Innofader, yeah.
Oh, but it bolts the Mini right up to the new plate.
It does. Well, there's still drilling involved, so you have to drill out the frame where the original fader's in, just in two places, so that the Mini Innofader has enough room to travel back and forth.
Uh huh.
But the plate that he designed, it's pretty sick. It's really clean. Actually, like incorporating that original hole instead of having to drill out another, you know, straight line, and then also have like a start and stop with the original PT01S clicker fader thing.
Oh, that's filthy. Hey, I have a question, though. Is Bihari the company that makes the preamp for the speaker to make your outputs louder? Like, you know, yes. It's got the amplification on the internal speaker?
Yeah. I think it was, like, something to amplify your auxiliary in.
Because, you know, like, when we upgraded our speakers or the one on mine, that would be a big plus.
Yeah, we should experiment a little. I think if I have one of Bahari's preamps, but the other thing that I believe you're talking about is something that amplifies the auxiliary in.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that would be a good mod. The only problem is like well, that's a little complicated for Bihari is that you're shipping from overseas and from wherever he's at. It's not like the UK where they've got the cost down, like Royal Mail. Like, big ups to Richie Ruftone and Turntable Training Wax, man, because I don't know what they're doing, but Royal, I don't know. I think Royal Mail with the US, it's solid.
Is that why it's so expensive?
I honestly, like, I feel like overseas shipping compared to Bihari and Turntable Wax, you're looking at, like, you know, a big difference. I think most shipping I've done through Turntable Wax is like $20, but Bihari, I don't have anything off the top of my, you know, I don't have any reference here, but I believe it's like way more expensive, like maybe $20-$30 like up there. So I don't know. it's a lot. I think sometimes like I've been looking to order from stuff and I'm like the shipping costs more than the item that I want to get. I just can't.
Was shipping for that dang Handicuts expensive?
No. It was like $20. Maybe less. I have to look at my receipt, but it wasn't bad at all. And then, you know, Royal Mail, once they get it into the USPS hands, you got full tracking. So it's like, you know, customs was easy. The handy tracks came intact. No issues. Also the, solid cuts I ordered. So I tested the shipping by ordering the solid cuts platter from Turntable Training Wax. Uh-huh. And I think because of the weight and it wasn't an electronic device, it didn't sit in customs too long. I got that within like 3 days. And the handy tracks, you know, it was like a week, a full week of waiting, but
I just know it's expensive and it takes a while because every time I order from Japan, it takes a while.
Man, Japan shipping, that is... Did you get your Columbia GP3 from Japan?
Yeah, and I got my 1200 parts from Japan too.
Man, how much do you remember how much shipping was?
No, I can look. It's expensive. It was hella.
Yeah, I mean, I like was looking at... some of the Vestex dead stock from some of those dealers in Japan and shipping is like $60 to $70. I kid you not, man. It's ridiculous.
That sounds about right because it's expensive.
Dang. UK it's cheaper though. I it's pretty cool. It's really impressive because like at first you're thinking, okay, I'm just gonna add this to my cart to see how much the shipping is gonna be. And then when I you know, was just surprised that, oh, shit, it's, like, affordable.
So, right. Yeah. I'm really, really, I would order a lot more if it wasn't so dang expensive.
I know, and you gotta give ups to, or big props to Open Format, because, you know, they're doing all that to get it to us, and then somehow, you know, covering their costs. Like I don't see that big of a markup when they do the stuff from Europe.
I think if they're buying in bulk, it's worth it.
Word. Well, thank goodness for like open format. And I mean, sometimes even like shipping from Canada can get kind of weird.
Oh, yeah. Even t-shirts, man. Everything's expensive.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if any of you listeners want to go in on a bulk order on something,
that's what's up.
Then, you know, and we all can get a piece for cheap.
Man. It's like the portableist version of, you guys heard of Mass Drop, where it's like community-based purchases to bring down the cost? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of group orders, and it's paid off.
We're like, we want to order 100 handy cuts, and we're not going to pay more than $100 each. I don't know.
For real. Because that's how, you know, that's how stores do it, so that they don't, you know, that we get the markup costs, so.
That's what's up, man.
That's the beauty of group buys. Because, man. There's some stuff that I want. It's just too expensive.
So with the barbecue, I just want to say, like, if you're too far away from Seattle and you're in another part of the Northwest, Scratcher PDX is happening in Portland. So there's that going on for sure, too.
Or just hit us up on the Northwest Portableist group or the Northwest Portableist IG, or, you know, just hit us up and we can consider doing a spot close to you guys, you know.
That'd be cool, too, for sure.
Because we like to do once a month or so, you know, in different places, but we can always link everybody with people that's in the area, so you know they want a gorilla session someplace, you know.
Yep, we are open. We're open to just mark our spot wherever. Huh? Northwest.
Let's say again.
we're open to mark our spot anywhere in the Northwest.
We can make it happen within reason, right? Or we can link you with people that can make it happen and have a little session.
Yeah, for sure.
Take pics and post it on the group. It's always welcome.
Yeah, especially like if you can go live on the Facebook group. That's always cool too.
Yeah. But I mean, to hold a big group thing, we're always down. Just if you have ideas of a spot that's like in the cut with parking and it's out of the way, that's like ideal. Just where we won't make a lot of complaints.
Or it could be a neighborhood cul-de-sac.
Somebody's neighborhood, block off the block.
You got a big house and then a big backyard.
I mean, don't get it twisted. We got some battery units that are pretty loud, so we can do that too.
Or if you got a grotto, that'd be dope.
So what about you guys? What are you guys trying to do with your portableist game this year? I mean, for me, I just want working shit. I mean, oops, my bad. Bad language, but I just want working stuff that, you know, that I can rely on all the time.
Yeah, are you having any issues with your stuff right now?
No, I'm not. I'm honestly thinking that, you know, because the setup that you did for me is really dope. The only thing that I might want to do is put a preamp on it and put a real needle on it, or you know, maybe I'll just cough up the bucks and buy that Jesse Dean tone arm.
But I hear what you're saying though, man. I like that idea of if you do any upgrades, it's gonna work, and you know, you're not gonna have to keep fiddling with it. Like when we first got into this like a couple of years back, it was like I think every week I was trying to fix something and then hitting up one of you guys just to figure out what I should do. And
yeah, that's what's cool though, is bouncing ideas off of each other. I mean, yeah, like my DJ Hero setup, it's solid too. I just got to start bringing that out. But everything that I want, it just works, you know?
Yeah, man, that DJ Hero setup is such a sleeper. Like, I think it's really like, yeah, it's underutilized for sure.
Yeah, that's because we got the Game of Death setup, man. Bolo
setup, good. You know? Yeah. I mean, I saw though. I think Patrick got a few new things that he's working on.
Oh, if you bring out that new deck, Patrick, that nobody's seen or people seen, if they follow you, Flip the Script is gonna kill it. I'm gonna kill it.
Oh yeah,
kill the game.
I don't know what to do with that yet. It just looks too nice to cut into. I don't know. Maybe I'll make it where I make it modular and add on to the edges or something.
Yeah, no, there's Who the knows? World is yours with that. I don't know yet. That's a big come up. That is dope.
Yeah, man, that was a really good find. Listening to how you came up on that and the Part of the List podcast was cool.
And the thing is, he was in the car and it worked. He was like, yep, game over.
I know, he's all like, oh, I got this battery pack. Let me just test this right here.
Game over.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with it, man. I just, like, for me with this Portablist game, it's kind of where I just want stuff to work. I just want to power it on and have some fun. I mean, I'm not about trying to have problems and try to fix it on the spot every time.
Yeah, I think that's for me, that's kind of on the same boat. I've been just getting equipment that I have researched to be solid, like the Mix Fader and the Mix Connect Pro. That combination is dope. Like, you know, it's cleaner on the deck surface, and then you don't have to plug your phone in all the time or a tablet.
You know what the problem with that setup is with me?
Yeah, what's up?
Is I'm lazy and I forget to charge stuff all the time.
That's why you gotta Flip the Script to remind you,
bro. Man, I am so bad about charging stuff. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, but you got that like car battery that you can pull out just in case.
I know. I got that big mini generator thing. So, but still.
Huh.
But can you use that stuff plugged in?
Yeah. Yeah, I've used it while I've been charging.
It's pretty good. It's got a pass-through?
Yeah, it's pass-through. It's just funny though, because, you know, once they're plugged in, it just feels like I'm not really and defeating the purpose. I mean, I might as well just put that to the side and get down on the you know, full size decks. And
I'm just saying, if we were in a spot and I had my my big battery and it dies, you could still use it.
Oh yeah. It's not like you're out of the session until you're recharged, for sure.
Yeah, dude, that's filthy.
So that's pretty big. That's pretty cool that they had thought about.
Wait,
that,
can you do that with the Raiden RX? Or you have to have it charged?
I don't. Pat, do you know what's up? Because I can't remember.
Yeah.
If it could charge it while using it, or.
Well, there you go.
Don't know.
I mean, that's just a big problem for me, because the only thing I remember to charge is my phone, because I always got to use it. But like any of my other stuff, that's why I don't bring out the DJ Hero, because I keep forgetting to charge the batteries on that stuff.
So what you're saying is you really want a magnetofader?
Yeah, magnetic. Like I don't have to power it.
Yeah, like that one.
Like the one bowl?
Yeah.
That's just me, because I'm just so... That's why I like the all-in-one scratch PT01S, the Newmark joint with everything in it, because it's just all charged. It's just all battery.
That's an upgrade that I want, though, is that internal battery mod, because what's his name? Ricky has that. DJ Options. He has the internal battery mod,
and you can charge it and pull it out, or charge it and use it without like having to pull out the battery.
Yeah, I mean, you have to unplug it and then charge it. Yeah, you have to charge it while it's in there. Because, I mean, once you install it, it's in there. And then when you pull it, it just takes up the space in the original battery compartment without you having to pull anything out. It uses the original connection. So when you charge your lithium battery, you have to just pop open the battery compartment and then plug it in that way. So
I think when you use batteries like that and use like a step-up converter, I think the word of the wise to everybody listening is, for me at least, I think you shouldn't use such a big battery because there's a little bit of static. You have that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had that for a second, but what I found is that once I reworked and resoldered the connections of my preamp, it seemed to complete the circuit better.
Oh,
so
I see.
It could accommodate for the amount of electricity that was going through the entire circuit.
Yeah, I'm just scared to try because I have a battery that like a portable battery, a little one, like what we all have to charge your phone or whatever. But it's bigger, and it can even jump start a car.
But the output though is it still 5 volts?
Yeah. When you plug it into the USB.
Yeah.
I should try it. That thing lasts forever, even when you're charging your phone.
Oh, okay. Wait, I got one more tip, man, for people listening. If you do order a Handy Cuts from the UK, make sure you have a converter.
Oh, does it come with the UK conversion plug?
So it comes. Luckily, my wife does a lot of international travel for her job, and so we have converters. But just a heads up, either that, go on Amazon and buy like the $5 9-volt power supply.
They got those converters at like either like the airport or Target.
Yeah,
or
that's
Walmart,
the one I'm using.
Too.
Yep. Yeah, that's the one I'm using. But
I got one of those someplace.
Yeah, so just a heads up, if you want to charge your Handy Cuts and you get it from Turntable Training Wax, it will come with the UK power supply. I don't know the technical name, but just make sure that you have a converter.
Is it the same power voltage, though?
It is. It's
or does it convert it? You need the converting power plug.
No, you're okay. I already tried with a US 9-volt power supply, and it works.
That's a good tip, because I would pull it out the box and be mad if I didn't know.
Oh, and the Handy Cuts is not 12 volts, so don't use your step-up converter cable. Don't use that. It's 9 volts for the Handy Cuts. So it's completely different from the PT01 Newmark. So just Handy Cuts is not the same voltage as the PT01. So yeah, just be careful. You don't want to plug your 12-volt converter, step-up converter, into your Handy Cuts when you get one, man.
How long does that battery last?
It's got a 6-hour battery life. And I haven't maxed it out at all. I've been playing with it now off of one charge. And, you know, I work most of the day. But, you know, on my own, man, I can't get more than maybe half hour, 45 minutes at a time with consistent use. So I haven't killed the battery yet. Hmm. It's been about a week now.
Does it have a battery level meter?
It has an indicator light that when it's fully charged, it turns green, and then it'll light up again yellow when it's low, and then red when it's completely. But while it's good, there's no light on. It's just there's EQ light up bars. It's an interesting design. I think we would podcast it when we're all together, and you guys can kind of give your first impression review on it, because it's interesting. There are a few things, talking points that I want to address with y'all, but that can be a different episode for sure.
That is dope, though. I'd love to play with that thing.
Cool. Yeah, you be careful, man, because you're going to want one.
I already want one.
DVS
factor, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, man. Like have that, and then when the phase comes, oh, man. That's what I'm really looking forward to, is the end of the summer, and hopefully getting the phase in the fall, and being able to, like, maybe even play out on a portable with the handy cuts. Like, that would be really cool.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know. That just sounds insane to me.
I know, right? I just don't know.
So dope.
I mean, your DVS setup dilemma is pretty dope too, though. Like, for what you've got figured out, like, that has gotten us through a couple of routines now.
Yeah. I mean, I like it, and it's easy, and if I wanted to, I can play out on it. You just don't have, like, game controls, right? So that's the problem with it.
Yeah, and that's the missing link, right? So with the handy cuts, you have that. Yeah.
But with the handy cuts, you have up and downs. That's filthy.
You don't have up and downs. You have rotary knobs.
Oh, are they? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's only a one fader. Rotary knobs.
Yeah.
It's one fader.
The only fader is the cross fader.
Two channels, though. Rotary knobs.
But you have gains to go up and down.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Rotary knob gain for each channel. Assigned their own rotary knob. And then you have a master. And then there's a wet dry or high, you know, high low EQ on it, but very basic. And we can get more into that later, but you know, it's one of those things. Oh, and then there's an auxiliary channel too that has its own dedicated volume. And then all the other knobs are really low profile, and they control the mini innovator. So you don't have to calibrate it like the traditional way.
Right.
With the video game style codes.
Up, right, or up, down, left, right,
contra. Flip the script has all that stuff down. Like, I've seen him, we're out playing, and all of a sudden he's doing, like, hold the button, left, right, light, right, left, in the middle, back and forth. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you know, flip the script, I was watching him. I was watching you when we had our gig. And I was like, man, this guy knows how to use the effects. Like, it's filthy.
Yeah, man. What setup were you using again at the gig? Because that was a full portable setup.
Yeah, the AMX and a portable, right?
The Akai AMX VFX combo.
You couldn't tell the difference, right? The crowd could not tell if you were on a large setup or not. It was crazy.
We kind of had everything at that gig. We had a portable, we had a controller, we had a new S9, and we had an old SL box system. Kind of everything.
Yeah, you think about it, like the picture of the man evolving from from primate to human.
Right.
Yo, that's like a t-shirt, that's right, funny. There. Don't cop that. That's Northwest Portable designer.
Yeah, right. the evolution design. That is so filthy.
Man, I'm hoping that J-Flex brings out his drum this summer sometime.
Oh, the strong arm?
Yeah, the strong arm, man. That's right.
I think that's filthy, but I think, like, the God mod has more fame, so... I think the strong arm is clowning for walking around.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I the very first Gorilla session when we were at Gasworks, and I think, D, you weren't able to come out that day, but it was like J-Flex was really bringing out hard with the strong arm. And he was the only one comfortable. All of us were like sitting out on stairs at Gasworks trying to get comfortable and find a little like spot.
Yeah.
And J-Flex is just standing there or sitting down like.
That's like the early days, because like we figured out a whole lot since then. And like the early days is like everybody's just going by the fly.
Yeah.
I think nowadays we've kind of perfected how to be comfortable and do gigs like that.
That's true.
That strong arm. Yeah, but you have the stomach plate, man.
You know what? That I was like just messing around because that the homie from California has that plate that's attached to his actual like chest rig, like mm-hmm. like military chest rig.
And so dude, you can do the truffle shuffle and scratch like that.
This is like we all have like this marching band. That was one of my visions. We're in a marching band. It's everybody on turntables. We can go like seafair parades.
Man, that would be funny. Because I mean, I could do the DJ Hero setup like that because I have the strong arm magnet. So yeah. We could all be walking down like a marching band.
We could challenge the FYA Joel team and just get smashed on.
That would be funny.
We'll just get wrecked.
That would be insane, though. I don't know. That's just the next level, like, of clowning.
I think that would be fun, though. I honestly think that would be fun if we were just, like, at some, like, local seafair, like, Wallingford parade.
And just walk around.
Yeah, we're like, because I think the Wallingford Parade, we might actually need to do this, because the Wallingford Parade is like so local that you just get on the community website and you sign up your group and then you can walk. It's not like the main Seafair Parade downtown where you've got to be like vetted,
yeah,
and been in the scene for whatever years. It's just like, hey, we're the local neighborhood families that want to get together, and yeah, you can do it. It's like
that would be funny. I mean, you could do that here at the Shoreline Parade too.
There you go. I'm down.
That would be funny. That would be a long ass walk, though. I'd want to put everybody on my truck.
Nah, we'd have to be on scooters or something.
You know, I like what Pat's talking about.
Have to be on the trailer. Have the bed open. And everybody sitting on the bed with a big speaker just scratching.
Yeah, that'd be cool, actually. Just, like, rolling through. Or, what was that, Pat? You were going to say, like, scooters or, like, bicycles or something?
Just be on a float.
We're going to build a float.
Just be on a float.
A big portable float. I don't know. Last year, I got asked to DJ on a float for... dang, what's the parade on the hill with the rainbows?
Capitol Hill?
Yeah.
Pride Parade?
Yeah. And, but this lady group, yeah, they didn't really want to pay anything. So I was like,
they wanted pro bono, huh?
Yeah. It's good exposure, especially for us.
Man, that's like, hey, you want a DJ for this foundation? It's helmets for head spinners.
Yeah, right. Oh man, yeah. No, but it'll be dope, man. So the barbecue, everybody get there at noon, and And the longer you're there, the longer you'll be able to scratch. Just for you listeners, don't be like some heads that show up 5 minutes before we close, because we do pack up.
I mean, we pack up, but y'all are welcome to enjoy the views, though, that we... Cause I'm,
yeah, and stay a while, right?
Yeah. I mean, we really do put a lot of thought into finding good spots.
Setting up is really dope, so...
Yeah,
you know, of what we do. So to experience it, get there early, have fun, bring the fam.
Yeah, bring your drones.
But I'm about to race. Flip the script in my little cheap drone.
Did you get a drone?
Huh?
Did you get a drone?
Oh, dope.
I have a little one. Yeah. It's got a little camera on it. It's, I don't know. I haven't even powered it up yet. I got to put the app on my phone so I can use it.
You know what would be kind of funny is if we attach somebody's GoPro to Alex's kite and he's doing stunts and then you got the drone flying around it.
Oh man. And what if we like face the GoPro to just face statics running around with a kite? Statics, if you're listening, we got love for you, man. We got love for you.
Yo, Statics, I'm not friending, man. That stunt kite hobby is what's up. That's like the original drone.
With no camera.
Yeah, I mean, how filthy would that be, though, if you had the GoPro hooked up to your stunt kite? Like, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, knowing my luck, it would get stuck in a big tree.
Or dive into somebody's, let's not talk about that. My bad.
Well, like, I don't know. Speaking of cameras, I bought a camera.
Oh, there goes Ben Disco B on the TV
right now. Big ups to Disco B, man.
Yeah, right now.
When I used to live in Federal Way, I used to bike cop. yeah.
Oh, what?
They're on the electric bikes, man. Now? That's crazy.
Doug, when I used to live in Federal Way, I used to meet him like at the precinct in his car when nobody knew that he was a cop. Or like he'd have some records and like, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's just funny stuff that nobody knew that he was a cop. And oh man, yeah, he's something to be reckoned with, and he's like so low key.
Is he still playing out then?
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of mobile, and he does clubs every once in a while. But
that's dope.
You know, it just depends. I mean, I've done a mobile or two with him. He's got a dope setup. But, yeah. It's funny, because, like, you know, as a cop, I bet you he'd be seeing stuff, and, you know. Especially when you're playing out and you're off duty.
That is funny.
Dude, I want an electric bike. That'd be dope.
Yeah, man. I mean, they have those conversions. That'd be cool.
Nah, watching one that Casey Neistat just reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that bike is so dope. I want one.
Does that like do a conversion on your one of your BMXs and be like a sleeper?
That would be funny.
And you're like going up hills past these guys on their road bikes.
Yeah, people be like, "What?
Like, this guy passing me up, and I'm going up like this big ass hill."
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize like a lot of these bikes are like pedal assist. So like, if you pedal, it seems like you're Superman because it just automatically gives you a lot of power.
Yeah, man, that was the worst. And so, the last time I did Seattle, Portland, bike ride, on the last leg, there's this big hill going up to the spot right outside of Portland. And this old dude is just sitting down, and all the rest of us are having to stand up on the bikes and just, you know, we got nothing left in our legs. And he's just pedaling away like he's whistling and shit. Oh, excuse me.
Wait, he had pedal assist doing?
Yeah, man, this is guy, man. He was making everybody upset. They're
cheating.
Yeah, they were really giving him the stink face, like, oh dude.
Yeah.
And he was like rocking the Pee Wee Herman bike.
See, that's what I'd want to do.
Oh man. Yeah, so getting back on the portableist thing, I don't know. Are you guys bringing two setups, or are you just one, or?
I'd probably bring two. You know, like I've got the other. I've got the original PTO one that I probably want to have people kind of review the mix fader and the Pro Link. To see if their handles on it and see what they would, you know, if that's something that people want to check out. That's the thing with me is that, you know, I don't do reviews as much, but I do want people to at least like experience, because we never got to really play with when we first started out with portableism, it was like you just get whatever comes out, and if it works, it works. And so, you know, I would rather that people experience something that I've known to work, but a lot of people are on the fence based on previous experiences. So, yeah, I'll be bringing some stuff.
I just feel bad for, like, righties. Righties always have a hard time with any of the setups unless you have a fader crib.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll be bringing, too, is the two fader cribs, because I got a fader crib for the for the mix fader, and then Pat and Flip the script and I, we both have the original fader cribs for the RXFI. Well, I'm sorry, the Raiden.
Is that fader still worth the money?
I mean Patrick's put way more time in his. I honestly like haven't had enough time for it to like start breaking down. So
did
I don't know.
Break. Flip the script.
Kind of, but like I think because I'm missing some screws on the plate itself, and then
it works now, so it's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. it's working now, but I think the F2 version is a little bit better.
I mean, I've just been waiting on getting a powered like a sharper one, but cut with the handy cuts come out, that might be the one to get.
I don't know, the version 2 is pretty filthy, like Beat Molester has that one, and I agree with Flip the Script, man. That cut on the version 2, it seems really sharp.
I don't know. I'll look. I mean, man.
It all depends, man. It really depends on what you like, though. If you're trying to throw everything in a backpack and just roll out, then you know, you gotta weigh your options. But if you're not done like that, you're willing to like all the way to the homies that are getting the Odyssey cases. Like, to me, I can see why that's like cool and convenient, but at the same time, like if I go on a hike with DJ Statics up in, you know, Snoqualmie, I'm not gonna lug that thing around.
Yeah, you're not going to want to lug a flight case around. Oh, man.
So, that's the thing. I mean, it just depends on your style and what you're willing to do for portableism. Me, personally, man, I just want to have it in my backpack and then keep it in my car, and I bring it to work, because I never know. Sometimes, you know, I don't even pull it out at work because I don't have time, but at least I know it's there, and after work I can get down if there's free time, like, you know, being a family man and having to take kids to after school activities. I mean, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, a hack that I would do is, like, and I was thinking about it, maybe I shouldn't reveal secrets, but, you know, like, the flight case that I use, the light for my wires?
Yeah.
You can get those cases in any dimension. It's just to hold my portable in.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just buy the dimensions of the portable and put it in there.
That's what
the, and it's way cheaper.
That's the case that you brought to our last portable list.
Yeah, but it's that one's not really. Yeah, that one's kind of a flight case, but like they sell like the one that I use for wires. It looks just like the turntable flight cases, like the Odyssey.
Oh, word!
You just have to change the hinges, like you did statics.
That's another turntable that I'm hoping he brings out, because that really shows, like, I know a lot of people have just been really turned off by the old school suitcase, like the Corsley
brand.
Yeah,
but they don't know, you just change the hinges on them. Yeah. And that's what I was telling Statics. I was like, look, they got them all on Amazon. Just buy and a hinge.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like, when we were suggesting Lou Rock to do it, and the one session over at West Seattle, we ended up just unscrewing his lid.
Yeah.
Just so he could, like, feel comfortable scratching that day.
Oh, yeah. Because that lid needs to come off.
Yeah, because his port, he has the PTO1, Newmark PTO1 touring.
Yeah, the touring one, but Newmark, the touring one has, it's like lacking a whole bunch of features.
Oh, man, and then it has that spring-loaded platter.
Yeah. Oh, you got to take the springs out of that.
Yeah, we just jerry-rigged that like MacGyver on that day just to get it going.
I would take the springs out of that and replace where the springs go. If you can't rock it, if it won't sit without the springs, I would use like washers or something just so that it won't bounce.
That's a great idea. So Lou Rock, if you're listening, we'll get you some washers.
Yeah, well, you know those ones that are long that are like cylinders? Not really flat washers, but they're long.
Yeah.
I've used some of those. Cut them, put them in there. Boom.
Yeah, that's simple right there. You're not having to, like, go in and, you know, disassemble everything and glue things together. Yeah, that's what's up.
It's a real simple fix. I mean, that's what this portable game is. It's like, if you want to modify your stuff, you just got to use your imagination, I guess.
That's so true, man.
You know, but if it breaks, then you need that flip the script or joint technical know-how.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Because I honestly have just like been into the modding of the original chassis and putting all the internals in and the aftermarket stuff. Just, you know, the other part, I'm hoping to at some point start building something, because I do have a lot of spare parts now from all the other failed attempts. You know, that's the thing, man. I don't come from an electrician background, you know, just straight up hobby. The only other hobby I've had in my past that required modding with batteries involved is airsoft. So that's the only thing that I can kind of relate.
Well, you can relate because you used to make boxes for vaping. It's almost.
No, that's
wiring right. Like that too. That's the same kind of game.
Yeah, that stuff is equally scary though, man. I I honestly like.
Yeah, blow up your face.
Yeah, like we were building those. This is before all that stuff. Yeah, we were building them, and then when the stuff came out in the news, they were blowing up on people. My cousin and I were like, "Oh, hold up. Yeah, we might want to rethink what we're doing because, you know." Anyway, but yeah, the turntable stuff has been funky because, I did an install for DJ Options. What did I install for him? I installed
Man, you did everything for him.
Yeah, start and stop. We reworked his fader and installed his tone arm.
He did the tone arm himself, though, right?
Yeah, I did his. I installed his tone arm and the preamp. And then it's funny, like everything was working really well after the install, and then he took it home. And something had probably shifted, or I didn't fully take into account that, like you said, that bigger battery in his mod was going to react differently. And we got some major feedback. So after doing a little more homework, we determined that the start and stop button that was installed wasn't compatible with the Jesse Dean components. And so...
Because Jesse has his own.
Right, so he... Exactly. So once I got the solid state chip from Jesse Dean and installed it, so I didn't have to get a new button for options, that eliminated all of the ground hum. So... If you're modding, that's something to take in consideration. You know, it's just if you're getting ground hum.
Did you pop the capacitor on that PT01S?
That's something that he did not want to do because that's the thing. He didn't want to do that because he didn't want to break warranty. Because he's actually had to send the PT01 back before I got a hold of it. So we set up his so that he can take all the aftermarket stuff out, put all of the OEM back in, and then send it back to Newmark without breaking warranty.
Man, we cut mine so much that, yeah, there's no way.
Oh, yeah, that was the same.
I was like both, now go all the way.
Yep, both of ours, the original ones with the mini innovators, which our innovators are pre-production, if you think about it.
Yeah, for real.
So that's why I don't think our faders, I actually had to trade the fader out. Our faders were actually way more solid because they came wired from an innovator. So what's cool about it is that with DJ Options turntable, he chose a start and stop button that fits into the circle where the fader would be, and then he has that his innovator just kind of sits on top, so it's all one flush mount.
Yeah, that's dope. It's all in one unit.
But remember, we were concerned that you wouldn't be able to close the lid when you have that mod in there because the mini innovator actually just sits on top of the unit, just like if you had Velcroed a fader on top of the deck.
But it fits, right?
Yeah, I mean he's for some reason it works. So I don't. That's a great design. They had thought about that. So
I still have a the new version of the mini Inno.
Oh, that's right. You did.
I still have one.
That, right?
Huh? Yeah, I won that off of one of the scratcher contests.
So you got some man. So you can build a whole new thing if you really wanted to. It's like. That's cool.
Yeah, I can do that. I mean, and I just figure, and I don't know what happened to options, knock on wood, but, you know, like, my original PT01 is not the USB, and I bought that brand new in 01 or something like that, and that thing still goes strong. I mean, I use that for record digging, so.
You know, I don't, honestly, we figured it out. It's not, it's... It's the change of the preamp and the tone arm. It's all those components are you're running through. You know, you're demanding a lot more electricity through those the system itself.
And that's what messed up his.
Yeah. So once we figured out it was all the start and stop button. That's what was causing his ground hum. And as soon as we replaced it, it stopped the ground hum. So he does sometimes he says that he does hear a little bit. But, I mean, that's just like any other piece of DJ equipment. You know, you turn the – it's just hot. You know, if it runs hot, you guys know. I mean, it's going to do that on regular
equipment. There's a little bit in mine. I mean it is what it is.
But I mean, if you don't change out your tone arm, you rarely have those issues. You can put in the open format style or beat filter style of start and stop button, where you're just bypassing the tone arm start and stop,
right?
The original, yeah, and then just putting in a start and stop button. You know, Jesse Dean's is like, technically, I think it's digital, right? Because, and then the open format and beach filter versions are analog.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, Flip the Script was doing that stuff even before those buttons came out. He's lucky, right? Because you live by fries, so you were installing stuff even before any of us. And I was just like,
yeah.
Even the placement of your start and stop on your PTO1 is different.
See, but like my start and stop button's like his. I mean, and I'm happy with it. It's, you know, it's a switch. It's a real switch. It's not an arcade style button. And I still like it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely copied you guys because I installed one of those little square ones. I like the low profile of it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think like you gave me one of them, Dilemma. I was like, oh, cool. I'm gonna switch this out because it's just way more low profile. And then, Flip the Script. Were you able to have like a light up one though? Start and stop button.
Yeah, but like, it would suck up some voltage, so I had to make a circuit for it in order for it the light and the switch to work. So right now I just have it as a switch without the light working.
That reminds me, I was gonna ask you guys, so like the speaking of lights, right? So there's Jesse Dean has that target light, which is really cool, I think. And then there's those folks, that other company, portable mod.
The halo ladder.
Yeah.
See, I think with those extra lights, it should be like the God mod where it takes a separate battery, because the more taxing you are on the single battery, the more voltage that runs. So the more it just drains, right?
I assume. I mean, I don't know the technicals of it, but I was just gonna think of like, what do you guys, if would you even do it? Like, is it something that you find necessary in your portable setup?
I mean, for me, like, I'm not using a portable in a nightclub, so it's not worth it. Like, the portable is for us to go adventure, right? So you're not going to see those lights unless it's starting to be sunset, like when Belena had all those, or J-Flex had all those lights on his strong arm. So,
man. Okay. You know, yeah.
That's just my thing. I mean, unless we're cutting at a barbecue in someone's backyard, that's a different story.
So DJ Dilemma, the lowrider, says what?
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, if you're cruising at night, then you know the underglow looks really nice, right?
Man, I'm telling you,
But then if you want to show off the flakes in the sun, then you don't need underglow, right?
Yeah, see, that's what's up. I mean, the Instagram photos have been really cool though. I'm not gonna lie, man.
It looks tight.
The the plexiglass skin on it, and then it illuminates the entire deck surface. I think that's cool, but I mean, it's not my style, but I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you could get that same effect as if you ordered some lighting strips from Amazon, right? Those are all can be battery powered.
Yeah, so that's another thing to think about. You know, is just like, again, getting back in the DIY, like what J-Flex has on his strong arm, where it's all internally lit, and then you have his ultra like refined, clean Game of Death build, and so it's kind of cool, like that he has two versions. You know, the one that's all crazy wild style, and then that really refined grown up turntable.
I might as well put some crushed velvet and some dingle balls on my turntable and make it all, you know.
Right. Get somebody to upholster it.
Not for real. It's a cool idea. I just think that, like for us, we're just outside having fun. And it's really not necessary. I'd rather invest in better equipment than have, you know, like instead of buying that all those lights, maybe buy a better needle, or maybe have a better speaker, or maybe have better wires.
Yeah, so, I mean, at this so point, that's I'm on that page too, because at this point I'm just like trying to save up and like every month buy a new needle for my Shure cartridge. So at least until the jump in price. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but
It's about to happen. But you know, I don't own any, but I guess the knockoffs, I've used knockoffs on other people, so they work fine,
because they're spherical, you know. It's not like it's gonna damage too much, like, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of, I don't know. Just like I have a Vestax head shell, I have a pair of them someplace. I'm kind of irritated that I can't find them because I've seen them on eBay for hella nuts. Because you can't find the head shells.
So in the case of upgrading your tone arm, though, I'm happy I did it, because I look back and like my triad record, man, I wish I had an upgraded turntable tone arm back then, because that record is one of my favorites and it's just kind of destroyed, man, because I was doing the you know, rubber band hair tie mod on my original
even though that's a thing, I just see the grooves on the record just being tore up.
Yeah, I mean, like I feel bad too, because man, I really hope they re-release some triad records. If y'all are listening, please re-release the 7-inch triad record. Make some more, please, because that record is dope, and I feel dumb for not copying at least two of them.
So are you telling me I should replace the Bihari?
I'm just telling you from my perspective, I would say keep the Bihari and just get an upgraded, go full size cartridge.
With a preamp?
With the preamp, because it's just, you know, it's weighted. The Bihari is already weighted for a full size cartridge. And you know, it'll just prolong the life of your records.
I just wish that they made these tone arms so that I could screw on any of my head shells here, because I'm in the studio looking around and I'm like, man, I got head shells all over the place, right?
Yeah,
but you can't use the head shell because there's no mount for it.
Yeah, I mean, and then like, like, how cool would it be to be able to put a Concorde style?
Yeah.
That's another wish list thing that hopefully someone's working on.
Because that would be dope to have an interchangeable head shell. Or be able to take off your head shell when you're not using it so it doesn't bounce off if your torque breaks.
I mean, that's like the builds where they use the old Vestex cone arm and put them on the handy tracks. I mean, there you go. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you have the know-how, I mean, you definitely do it. It's just there's so much more involved when you do an upgrade like that, because it's not only just changing the tone arm on the handy tracks, right? You got to figure out a new place to rest the tone arm. You got to figure out how the lid works. I mean, it's some serious design. So it's anybody that's done builds like that, I have some serious respect for, because you know, they are real designers and engineers, you know. It's like, that's what's cool about this community, and y'all are like very, very smart folks. You know, you're creative, you're always trying to learn. You're inspiring to each other, and the knowledge is out there. Like, it's a great community to be in. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I agree. But when it comes to the tone arm, I just think that they could have made the tone arm, and like, I understand the weight's different with each tone arm, but damn, man, come out with like the Jesse Dean and have the spinning clip at the end, like a regular turntable.
Yeah, I was always curious, right?
Yeah, because it's just wires going into that clip.
Yeah, no, and I agree. Like, I've been curious to find out. You know, Jesse Dean, if you hear this, man, what's up? Like, what was the choice? We got to get him on a podcast, by the way. But it's like, you know, what was the decision to go with a fixed head shell?
Yeah, no, for real.
Yeah, I wish we had had the opportunity to ask him, because I wouldn't have had this question if I didn't cop one of his tone arms. You know? It's like,
well, we didn't know because nobody had one installed.
That's so true. So that was like one of.
I mean, when he came up, none of us had.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. So that was a really fun little event.
I think we got to end.
Well,
this
man,
podcast,
right?
I know. We've been rolling for like 83 minutes.
Yeah, it's.
Anyways, have more to come for all you listeners, and if you've lasted this far, thank you.
I know.
Yeah, like wow, it's a good length first.
Yeah, I mean, you just
episode.
Get a group of nerds like us about turntables together, and we can go on forever.
I know y'all gotta tell me to stop talking, man, because I start to ramble too much. My bad.
No, it's good. Yeah, and
that's what this is for.
For all of you people out there listening, tell a friend, spread it around. We'll be doing this more. I mean, I had a good time.
Yeah, man, that's good. Me too.
Yeah, so please subscribe, comment, like, share, rate.
Yeah. Whatever
one star,
you want,
five star.
All that good stuff. And if you have a question, we're on all social media. So just hit us up at Northwest Portablist, and you know, one of us will get back to you.
Yep.
So, all right.
All right.
You guys have a good night, and we're signing out.
Peace out.
Peace out, guys. Have a good night.
All right, y'all. Peace.